Chapter 9. The Big Bang. In this chapter, what cosmology has to do with us? The Big Bang. How current theories struggle with the bang. What came before the beginning? The mystery of cosmological dark matter. Like black holes, the Big Bang involves extreme conditions that neither relativity nor quantum theory can explain on its own. Unlike black holes, it's something we can see with our own two eyes, if we know how to look. The fact that we exist, that it's dark at night, that outer space to our left looks about the same as outer space to our right. From these simplest of observations, we can confront the deepest mysteries of cosmology. Roots. If you start tracing your family tree to your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and then keep on going, what happens? You follow the branches through your great N times great-grandparents, maybe finding you do have some royal blood after all. Earlier ancestors of yours might have helped build pyramids, paint caves, or domesticate potatoes. Eventually, all the family trees of all of us merge into one. Go far enough back, and our ancestors weren't even Homo sapiens, but some other hominid living on the savanna. Way before that, they were furry shrews that darted left and right to avoid getting stepped on by dinosaurs. If we keep on going, we come to microbes and the roots of the tree of life. Then, the lineage jumps off our planet, to the stars that created the atoms in our bodies, and the cosmic primordial soup from which those stars coagulated. Ultimately, there was a time when our forebears weren't particles we'd recognize, but a purer variety. The particles dissolve into space and time, and space and time themselves dissolve into something spaceless and timeless. The universe was without form and void. So cosmology isn't about something way out there, something inconceivably big and old and distant. It's about us, who we are, and how we come to be here. The broad outline of our descent is what we know as the Big Bang. The universe used to be hot, dense, and fluid. Over time, it thinned out and cooled down, which allowed bodies of increasing complexity to take shape until the magical moment 4 billion years ago when non-life begat life on our planet. Definition: the Big Bang is the evolution of the universe from a hot, dense state. Note, in this book, the term refers to the ongoing evolution. Elsewhere, many people use the term to indicate just the start of this process, the hypothetical time zero, a definition that presumes there was such a time zero, which may not be true. An amazing aspect of our cosmic family tree is that it's the same as the tree of physics. The further back in history we go, the simpler things get. In the ancient universe, matter was distributed more uniformly and consisted of fewer types of atoms. Still earlier, the distinctions among physical forces melted away. Most physicists think that everything we now see grew from a seed made up of a single type of matter and was governed by a single type of force. Only a quantum theory of gravity can describe it. Quantum leap. To take the biology metaphor a step further, consider the old concept of ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. The claim that the development of an embryo, ontogeny, reenacts the evolutionary history of its species, phylogeny. A version of it holds in cosmology. Ontogeny replicates ontology. The development of the universe reenacts the laws of physics, ontology. The meaning of the bang. Simplicity is what makes the modern science of cosmology possible. In some ways, it is the simplest of all sciences. With a couple of basic processes and a few broad categories of matter and energy, we can say almost everything there is to say about the universe on very large scales. Definition. In the modern sense of the word, cosmology is the sub-branch of astronomy that studies the whole universe as a celestial body in its own right. Consider how far we can get with a couple of basic observations. First, Why is the sky dark at night? It didn't have to be that way. If the universe had been around forever in its current form, starlight would have had plenty of time to seep into all corners of space, and we would see a uniform fiery glow across the sky. Wherever we looked, we'd see a star. Like trees in a forest, some would be close, some would be far, but together they'd form an unbroken wall. So the fact that we see only a sprinkling of stars means they must be a relatively recent arrival, like seedlings that have begun to reclaim a barren plot. This insight, known as Olber's paradox after a 19th-century German astronomer, is a first hint of the Big Bang. Another observation requires a telescope, but is almost as simple in principle. To ascertain the overall patterns of the universe, rather than localized effects, cosmologists measure the motion of entire galaxies. Our solar system and all the stars we see with the naked eye belong to the Milky Way galaxy, but telescopes reveal billions of others. In the grand scheme of things, each behaves as a single unit. We have discovered that galaxies are systematically moving away from one another. What's more, they have been fleeing each other's company for as long as anyone can tell. Deep in the past, the precursors of all the galaxies we observe were scrunched up against one another like subway riders in rush hour. Since then, they have scattered in every direction, and the universe has thinned out. Because this sounds a lot like an explosion, astronomers dubbed it the Big Bang. Definition: a galaxy is a giant system of stars, gas, dust, and other material. Loosely speaking, it's the next level of organization up from the solar system. Working backward from how fast galaxies are moving apart now and accounting for changes in their speed, all the galaxies we see would have been concentrated at a single mathematical point 13.8 billion years ago. This point bears more than a passing resemblance to the singularity at the center of a black hole. Both are places where relativity theory predicts that gravity spirals out of control and matter reaches infinite density. The main difference is that stuff falls toward the black hole singularity but shoots away from the Big Bang one. This hypothetical instant of complete and total scrunching may or may not have been the dawn of time. No one knows what, if anything, occurred then. That's why I use Big Bang to mean the spreading trend rather than the moment of time zero. The Big Bang is not something that occurred long ago. It is an ongoing process that we are part of. Cosmic expansion. The motion of galaxies away from one another follows a very regular pattern. Too regular, in fact, to be explained as an ordinary explosion. The farther apart galaxies are, the faster they move. Galaxies twice as far move twice as fast. Those 42 times farther apart move 42 times as fast. No matter how distant two galaxies are, their relative velocity follows this pattern. Astronomers have confirmed this trend for hugely distant galaxies by getting a fix on exploding stars inside them. The no matter how distant part is the giveaway. If two galaxies are extremely widely separated, they are moving apart at the speed of light, or faster. This isn't just a trick of the light giving the illusion of faster-than-light motion. If it were, cosmologists wouldn't see such a regular trend with distance. Quantum leap. If a pair of galaxies are 1 million light-years apart, they separate at about 20 kilometers per second. If 2 million light-years apart, they separate at about 40 kilometers per second. If 14 billion light-years apart, they separate at 300,000 kilometers per second, which is the speed of light. The farthest galaxies that astronomers have discovered are currently moving away from us at about twice the speed of light. Bring! The Einsteinian alarm bell just went off. How can anything exceed the speed of light? Well, it can't. Not if it's moving as we normally think of motion, as rocketing across space from one position to another. But Einstein's general theory of relativity allows for a second type of motion, not through space, but of space. It's the difference between an ordinary sidewalk, which you have to walk down, and a moving sidewalk, which does the work for you. In the second type of motion, the distance between two objects increases not because the objects shift position, but because the space between them gets larger. To visualize this, take a rubber band and draw some dots on it, then stretch it. As you do, the distance between every pair of dots increases. Widely separated ones move proportionately more. From a dot's point of view, the other dots are all getting farther away. It doesn't matter which dot you pick, each sees the same thing. Galaxies in the expanding universe are like these dots. Although this second type of motion lets us exceed the speed of light, it doesn't mean we can outrun light. After all, if space is taking us for a ride, it's taking any light beams for a ride, too. They still beat us in a one-on-one race. The key thing to remember is not to take the term Big Bang too literally. A bomb didn't go off and hurl matter outward through space. Instead, space itself explodes. The bang did not occur at a single place, but everywhere, just as the expansion of a stretched rubber band happens everywhere along it. The difference from the rubber band is that we need to pull the band, whereas space is naturally dynamic and expands of its own accord. All tangled up. What about the books and websites arguing the Big Bang never happened? It's true that some people do not accept that space is expanding. For discussions of the holes in these arguments, there are a variety of websites available. All tangled up. If space expands, why don't people, asteroids, and the solar system expand too? The reason is that these bodies, heavenly and otherwise, have some internal cohesion. People are glued together by electromagnetic forces, the solar system by gravitational forces, and asteroids by a combination of the two. Light waves, on the other hand, do expand, which gives cosmologists a way of tracking the progress of the Big Bang. The waves representing material particles expand too, which has the effect of reducing their momentum, per quantum theory, but leaves their size untouched. The expansion of space is one of the most important discoveries of 20th century science. It is to cosmology what evolution is to biology, a framework for making sense of everything else. Unwinding the clock. By going backward in time and unwinding the effects of expansion, you can trace your family tree ever closer to quantum gravity. Way back when, the universe was denser, which implies it was hotter, which implies that particles had higher energies and behaved in steadily more bizarre ways. Some of these new effects occurred when existing ingredients came together in novel ways, others as the existing ingredients broke up. The pace of change picks up the farther back you go. Today, most astronomical processes take millions or billions of years, but long ago, events were measured in years, seconds, or fractions of a second. Today, 13.8 billion years after time zero. The radius of the observable portion of the universe is now 47 billion light years, which reflects both how much it has grown and how far light has been able to travel since the start of the expansion. Formation of solar system, 9 billion years after time zero. The Sun and its planets came into being about two-thirds of the way through cosmic history. Earliest stars and galaxies, 100 million to 1 billion years after time zero. It took gravity this long to pack gas into the first generation of stars, galaxies, and large black holes. Dark ages, 380,000 to 100 million years after time zero. Before the first sources of light switched on, the universe was nearly pitch dark and filled with a miasma of hydrogen, helium, and lithium. None of the other chemical elements existed until stars cooked them up. Formation of atoms. 380,000 to 490,000 years after time zero. Before atoms existed, electrons, nuclei, and photons made up a collective community like a kibbutz or commune. No particle had a claim on any other particle. All frolicked together. But when temperatures fell below 3,000 kelvins, electrons slow down enough to be snared by nuclei and settle down into atoms. Photons went their own way, gradually losing energy but always retaining an imprint of the layout of material just prior to atom formation. They eventually became the Cosmic Microwave Background Radiation, CMBR, a treasure trove of data for cosmology and for fundamental physics. Definition: the Cosmic Microwave Background Radiation, CMBR, a nearly uniform glow of microwave radiation, provides a snapshot of the universe as it was at a cosmic age of about 380,000 years. It is strong evidence of the Big Bang theory as opposed to alternatives, such as the steady-state theory. Formation of atomic nuclei, 1 second to 3 minutes after time zero. In the precious early moments when conditions were just right, protons and neutrons clumped to form the nuclei of the lightest elements. Most of the helium, heavy hydrogen, and heavy lithium in today's universe dates to this period. For observers probing back in time, the formation of nuclei is the end of the rope. They can glimpse this epoch by measuring the amounts of those elements, but they don't yet have any data that directly probes earlier epochs. From here on, cosmology becomes more tentative. Formation of protons and neutrons, 10 microseconds after time zero. 3 by 3, quarks settle down into larger particles. Formation of photons, 10 picoseconds or trillionths of a second after time zero. Around this time, electromagnetism and the weak nuclear force, which had been a single set of forces known as the electroweak forces, parted ways. Photons, the carriers of electromagnetism, emerged as distinct particles, while their ex-partners slunk away. Their dramatic breakup rippled into the brew of other particles. Before, all types of particles had the same mass, namely zero. After, their masses ranged all over the map. As the momentous transition swept through space, it may also have rubbed out most of the antimatter in the universe, leaving behind mostly matter. Notice what has happened as we've gone back in time. We've gone down the tree of physics. Only a couple more branches lie beneath us. The biggest particle accelerator, the Large Hadron Collider near Geneva, can recreate conditions as far back as the formation of photons. To carry on to even earlier times, cosmologists have to shift to a different line of argument. Cosmic inflation. With all those particles pressed up against one another and plenty of time before the sun would come up, the youthful universe must have been quite a party, if you're the particulate type. But like a lot of human parties, it took a while to get going. Although particles were scrunched together, even a particle needs time to mingle, so at first each one felt utterly alone in the crowd. Only gradually did they begin to interact, creating a small but widening circle of intimates. Meanwhile, the universe expanded in size, making it ever harder for particles to hook up. The fact that mingling takes time leads to a serious puzzle. If you look at the night sky to your left, it looks a lot like the night sky to your right. The details differ, but the farthest galaxies on the two sides are statistically indistinguishable. If you look above and below you, in front of and behind you, and in thousands of other directions, you also see that the galaxies look about the same. How can that possibly be? The particles in those galaxies never had a chance to mingle. They have never even seen each other. To switch metaphors, those galaxies are like two ships on opposite sides of our horizon, visible to us but still hidden from each other. Light from the left one has been traveling for 12-odd billion years and is only now reaching Earth. It will need to travel billions more years to reach the galaxy on the right. Ditto for light coming the other way. In short, light, heat, and other influences have not yet had time to pass between them and coordinate their appearance. The puzzling fact that galaxies look the same even though the Big Bang gives them no chance to harmonize themselves is called the horizon problem. This riddle indicates that the period of cosmic expansion we're in can't be the full story. There must have been some pre-party when the galaxies, or their precursors, mingled before going their separate ways and meeting up again later. The leading account of this earlier period is a process known as inflation. The idea is that the galactic precursors originated in a tiny region of space and had time to rub elbows. Then cosmic expansion went into overdrive and yanked them apart. After a while, expansion mellowed out, and light started to pass between the galaxies again. In fact, all that's necessary is that expansion mellow out within our region of space. It might well continue in the universe at large, far beyond the range of our vision, an idea known as eternal inflation. Somewhere out in that vast realm, another region of space could also call it quits. Because of random variations in the starting conditions, this region could look quite different from ours. This is one of the reasons that cosmologists think our observed universe may be only one among many. Definition: the cosmological variety of inflation is an acceleration of the rate of cosmic expansion, pulling neighboring regions apart too fast for them to exchange signals or other influences. The inflaton is the unknown quantum field and associated particle that brought this about. Eternal inflation is the idea that inflation, once started, continues forever in the universe at large. Our observable universe is just a small region where it happened to stop. Cosmologists attribute inflation to a substance called the inflaton that no longer exists in today's universe. Average stuff just isn't up to the task, because its gravity attracts other stuff. If anything, it holds the expansion back. To throw cosmic expansion into overdrive takes a freakish type of substance, one that produces a sort of anti-gravity that repels material, giving the expansion an extra push. General relativity allows that. The only trouble is that physicists don't know what the cosmologists are talking about. Nothing in the standard model quite matches the description of the inflaton, so physicists need to seek it out in a unified theory, as a byproduct of either the grand unification that marries quarks with electrons, or a full-fledged quantum theory of gravity. The process never ceases to amaze cosmologists. It implies that giant bodies such as galaxies originated in teensy-weensy random fluctuations. Telescopes become microscopes, letting physicists see down to the roots of nature by looking up into the heavens. Quantum leap. Whatever the inflaton was, not only did it generate the force that drove galaxy precursors apart, but it also generated the precursors themselves. The inflaton fluctuated in energy as all quantum things do. Under normal circumstances, such fluctuations average out over time, an uptick later being offset by a downtick or vice versa. But the expansionary overdrive was not a normal circumstance. It enlarged the fluctuations just as they formed, preventing an uptick from being compensated by a subsequent downtick or a down by an up. Thus, the fluctuations were locked into place like waves on a frozen pond. Later, when the expansion mellowed, the upticks became the seeds for galaxies. The ultimate beginning. Inflation acts as a cosmic reboot. The huge expansion dilutes any pre-existing particles by so much that they are effectively erased. It resets the density of the universe to its cosmological default value and fills it with a fresh batch of particles. When you reboot a computer, a clean start is the goal. But for cosmologists, it poses a problem. How do they probe what came before if it has been almost totally wiped out? One thing cosmologists do know is that something had to precede inflation so that the universe could attain the conditions to start its wild ride. Either the universe was born inflating, or it had a pre-inflationary life when it must have been expanding. Therefore, the argument for a moment of complete and total scrunching still applies. Inflation might push this singularity too far back in time to see, but it's hard to get rid of it, in relativity theory at any rate. The hope has always been that quantum effects will kick in and prevent the density from becoming truly infinite. The singularity might prove to be the true beginning of time, or merely a transition from a pre-existing state, maybe the latest stage in an eternal cycle. Physicists and philosophers have argued it both ways. Yet current quantum theory can't be the whole answer either, because it works within time. It tells us what will happen given what came before, but that presumes each moment has a moment before it, which doesn't apply to the origin of the universe. Whether or not the universe is finite or infinite in age, there was no before in which a process could operate. To ask about before is a loaded question, like asking what's north of the North Pole, or past the last number on the number line, or clockwise of the first point on a circle. Some scientists argue that if there is no before, then there is no need to explain the origin of the universe. It just is. Alternatively, maybe what came before simply doesn't matter. Inflation, among other processes, resets the universe to its default values anyway. But these responses run into a practical difficulty. As cosmologists probe back, they find there are some questions for which the starting conditions can't be avoided. One, ironically, is inflation. Getting it rolling takes very special conditions. Another is the arrow of time, the distinction between past and future, the fact that we can't remember the future or change the past, and that desks get messier but do not spontaneously tidy themselves up. The laws of physics can't explain the arrow because they do not single out a direction in time. The answer must lie in the starting conditions. This may be another case when relativity and quantum theory cover each other's blind spots. Relativity isn't trapped inside time as quantum theory is. It's a theory of time. So it holds out the hope of explaining the dawn of time without presuming time from the outset. Physicists have yet to pull off this feat, though. It's a major motivation for a quantum theory of gravity. The beginning of time may prove to be the end of time, the point where the limitations of time as a concept become apparent and has to be replaced with something more basic. Just as our human lineage began with something that wasn't even human, and the tree of life is rooted in things that weren't even alive, space and time must emerge from things that aren't even space and time. The dark side. Every family has its black sheep, its prodigal son or daughter who runs off to make it big in the city or across the water without so much as a glance backward, except, of course, when they need some money from those who stay at home. Our cosmos, too, has its black sheep. Look in the mirror. We're it. The matter I've been calling ordinary is actually pretty extraordinary by cosmic standards. It's a cauldron of nuclear reactions, shockwaves, magnetism, and turbulence. It forms structure on all scales, from protons to people to planets. Most of the universe is not so interesting. One of the great discoveries of 20th century astronomy is that what we see is not all there is. Like a theater audience that watches the herky-jerky gestures of a marionette and infers the presence of a hidden puppeteer, researchers have observed that visible matter moves in unaccountable ways and concluded that unseen matter must be pulling the strings. For instance, stars orbit so fast within galaxies that they'd fly out unless something reined them in. The familiar view of galaxies as big bundles of stars is now passé. Galaxies are really just giant balls of dark matter with some stars and gas sprinkled in. Definition: dark matter is the unknown material that makes up the bulk of the matter in the universe. It doesn't emit or absorb light, but does exert a gravitational force. Whatever this stuff is, it can't be ordinary stuff. From the measurements of the relative amounts of elements, cosmologists have estimated the total amount of ordinary matter cooked up by the Big Bang. It falls short by a factor of 10. Starlight and the cosmic microwave background radiation chip in a bit more, but not much. Something else must be lurking out there. Dark matter doesn't behave like the matter we know and love. It doesn't form atoms, doesn't form molecules, doesn't exert pressure like a gas, doesn't respond to pressure, doesn't give off light, and doesn't absorb light. It doesn't do much of anything. It just sits there on the couch all day exerting gravity. If it has any inner life at all, it keeps it well hidden from us. But don't discredit it. By not responding to light, dark matter was able to clump even when ordinary matter, buffeted by the sea of radiation that filled the early universe, couldn't. If not for that, ordinary matter would still be spread out into a thin, lifeless gruel. Dark matter is what gave us our start in life. Even dark matter, though, has itself become a black sheep in the very cosmos it helped create. It has been shoved aside by dark energy, a relative latecomer that has been making up for lost time. About 7 billion years ago, which is recent in cosmic terms, measurements indicate the expansion rate of the universe began to pick up. It's shifting into overdrive, a lot like what happened in the early inflationary period. The cause might be an inflaton-like particle. It might be related to that great bugaboo of quantum theory, the cosmological constant. Or it might be some new effect altogether that masquerades as energy. Definition: dark energy is the unknown type of energy that's causing the expansion of the universe to accelerate. Either way, it's the first qualitatively new thing to burst onto the cosmic scene since the formation of photons. It now accounts for nearly 3/4 of the energy content of the universe. It's especially strange that dark energy emerged around the same time as star and galaxy formation hit its stride. Suspiciously fortuitous timing that cosmologists call the cosmic coincidence. Why it lay low for billions of years, waiting for its moment to strike, must be some kind of clue to what it is. Definition: the cosmic coincidence problem is the unexplained fact that dark energy became dominant not long after stars and galaxies began to form. Dark energy contributed to our existence in the same way that the mafia gives you a few extra days to pay up. By not barging in until about halfway through cosmic history, dark energy gave galaxies and groupings of galaxies a chance to take shape. The grace period is over now. No larger groupings of galaxies can form in today's universe. Dark energy pulls them apart before they have a chance to assemble. In sum, the standard model of particle physics covers only about 5% of the universe. The stars, intergalactic gas, radiation, and sundry particles. The remaining 95% of the universe will take a unified theory to identify. The names cosmologists give it, dark matter and dark energy, are really a fancy version of, hey, you, and that guy over there. 10 years from now, if experimenters are able to manufacture dark matter in particle accelerators, and theorists are able to explain it, it will have a real name, and we will finally be reunited with our long-lost relations. The least you need to know. Going back in time means diving deeper into the workings of nature. Cosmic expansion could enlarge strings to astronomical size. The cosmic microwave background radiation provides a crucial set of observations. Only quantum gravity can make sense of the dawn of time. It might also be needed to tie up other loose ends, such as inflation, dark matter, and dark energy.